A video gaming technology company is no longer just playing around. I'm David Brancaccio. NVIDIA of Santa Clara, California makes powerful microchips for playing video games. There's news it is buying a quietly ubiquitous tech company based in Cambridge, England for $40 billion. You may have ARM Holdings Tech in your pocket or purse right now. Marketplace's Nova Safo is on the line here. Nova, why so much money to link to somewhat obscure companies?
Well, David, you said it. ARM is practically ubiquitous. It's in 90% of smartphones out there, both Apple and Android phones. And what ARM does is design blueprints to make the microprocessor chips that go inside nearly everything that computes. ARM licenses this technology to anyone who wants it. So Qualcomm, a big chip maker, uses it. Also Apple, Samsung, China's Huawei. With ARM's technology and so many gizmos, it makes it easier for these devices to talk to each other. So toasters talking to smartphones, that kind of thing. Meanwhile, NVIDIA, as you mentioned, is big in video gaming world and in artificial intelligence. It makes powerful computer chips, and this deal will catapult it into the broader tech ecosystem.
Is that why I'm already seeing some objections to this deal?
That's right. Just hours after the deal was announced, there were already signs that there's a tough road ahead to get this deal approved. There are a number of questions. First, NVIDIA makes chips, as we said. So how will it treat competing chip makers who want to keep licensing ARM's technology? NVIDIA says it will remain neutral, but regulators will want to answer that question. Also, China will be involved because NVIDIA is buying a Chinese subsidiary of ARM. So how will U.S.-China trade tensions play into this? All of this remains to be answered.
All right. Nova Safo, thank you. As you may have been hearing, the owner of the social media company TikTok has decided among suitors and will partner with the U.S. database firm Oracle. The Trump administration gave ByteDance of China a deadline to sell its U.S. operations amid concerns about what TikTok does with all the user data it collects. Microsoft was among the big companies also interested. The host of our program, Marketplace Tech, Molly Wood, says it may help that Oracle's CEO is tight with the Trump team.
Since everything these days is also about politics and everything about this forced sale is highly unusual, it also has to be noted that Oracle, and particularly Larry Ellison, are boosters of President Trump, and the company has sought more military and government contracts. Ellison has also warned about the competitive threat that China poses. Now, the administration does have to say yes to any deal, and that's why it helps that Ellison and Oracle are friendlies.
Note that TikTok Oracle will be a partnership, but not an outright sale. And Chinese media is saying today Oracle would not get TikTok software code that figures out what short video to feed you next. There's news that AstraZeneca has restarted its late-stage human testing of a coronavirus vaccine. It put the trial on pause last week to figure out why one test subject had a medical issue. Volatile technology stocks are pointed up right now. The NASDAQ future is up 1.3%. The S&P future is up 1%. Now to our series, Fast Track, the Grand Challenge of Vaccinating the World Against COVID-19. Fareed Zakaria from CNN show GPS has a new book out in a couple weeks called 10 Lessons for a Post-Pandemic World. Fareed, welcome to our program.
It's my pleasure.
Now, you've been thinking about how the world will work after pandemic. How do you think the distribution of vaccine and deciding who gets it earlier, who gets it later, might play out given the direction of the world as you see it?
Well, there are two levels at which your question operates. The first is at the level of truly global issues, which is to say which countries will get it. And without any question, it is going to be the rich world that will get it first. And those countries will make sure that their population gets access to it first. What we should be trying to do is ask ourselves, what is the most efficient way for this vaccine to be effective? So it should be sent to those countries where you have the greatest hotspots, where you have the most dangers and things like that. A global pandemic needs a global response.
Now let's talk about the other part of my leading first question, which is, what do we know about the distribution of an eventual, if we get one, COVID vaccine? We talked globally, but within the United States, there's a major public policy question about who gets it first, who gets it at all, really.
When you look at something like the vaccines, what worries me is that we will see a similar scenario as we saw with testing. The two parts of the American testing fiasco that are worth pointing out. One, the people who were getting it most easily were not the people who needed it. Frontline workers, healthcare workers. It was basically people who were rich and well-connected. The second thing we realized was that because of the bizarre way in which we fund healthcare, the companies that were doing the testing had no incentive to provide the results quickly, which means they're essentially ineffective. Because if you don't get the results within about 48 hours, you might as well not get them. If we have a similar rollout in the vaccine, where it ends up first going to rich people, it ends up getting to people too late, it's quite possible that these are fears that will be exaggerated. But looking at the testing fiasco, I feel concerned enough that I think we need to overplan and overprepare for the actual physical distribution of the vaccine in America.
That is the host of a CNN show called Fareed Zakaria, GPS, and author of the new book, 10 Lessons for a Post-Pandemic World. Mr. Zakaria, thank you so much.
Such a pleasure, David.
We'll put up a director's cut of that conversation on our website. Distributing coronavirus vaccines is thought by some to be as big a challenge as developing them. Marketplace.org has the accumulating coverage. We're from APM, American Public Media.